What a blessing to listen to those hymns of praise from the choir today. It's been a blessing to our hearts, and I'm sure to your hearts also. What a blessing it is to be here again this evening and to see so many out this evening. We praise the Lord for that. Okay, look, this morning I preached a message which I called What the Bible Is. This evening we're going to see what the Bible does. This morning we saw that it is a cleansing agent, a companion and counselor. It is our song, it is our sweetness, and it is our light. And this evening we're going to look at what the Bible does. But before we do that, let's just bow before the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, again we come into thy holy presence this evening in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, this evening we do pray that you would take your word and bless it to our hearts. We thank you that you've given us your word. It is our gospel. And so, Father, we do pray that you'd take man, hide him behind the cross, let no man be seen save Jesus only. We'll be careful to give thee the praise and the glory in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. What the Bible does. Please turn to Psalm 119. We're continuing to look at that psalm and see what the Word of God says to us. But while you're turning there, I can just say that we can only hope and pray that if there's anyone listening in, listening to these messages today, who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, maybe someone who does not understand the God of the Bible, that they may yield themselves to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't know how far and wide these messages go, but I'm sure there are people that would listen who perhaps are not saved. Perhaps they've never come to a decision to accept Jesus Christ. And I do pray that they might be saved. They would be cleansed from their sin. And only then will they have a companion and a counselor in the Word of God. And only then will it be their song. It will be sweetness unto them. And only then will it give them light. But first and foremost, they must accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. So as we continue on in this study, we see the first thing that the Word of God does, it makes us rich. Please turn to verse 162 in Psalm 119. Verse 162. And here David says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Now, David was a soldier. He knew what he was talking about. And in this verse, the word rejoice means to be jubilant, to be elated, to be overjoyed. And it was because of God's word, David says. I rejoice, I am jubilant, I am absolutely overjoyed at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. So what does he mean by that? Well, as I said, as David was a soldier, he knew things about war. One of the first battles he had, he fought a giant, and he slew him with a stone and a sling. He knew a little bit about war. He knew a little bit about the spoils of war. You see, when Israel went out to war, quite often the soldiers were rewarded with the spoils. The spoils of war were the riches. Any money, gold coins and so forth that you found. It was the jewels, and anything of value would be found on the battlefield. And you can imagine what those battlefields would have been like. There may have been 1,000, there may have been 10,000 on each side. And they would go out to battle and fight one another, and there would be a lot of dead soldiers. And some of them would have different jewels and riches on their person. They quite often plundered and searched these dead soldiers. They took their swords, they took their daggers, they took their rings, anything else of worth, anything else of value. And there would be great rejoicing among the soldiers. They had found something of worth. They had found something that could possibly make them rich. And all through the Old Testament, we see this happening. In Numbers 31, verse 9, it says, "And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives, and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle, and all their flocks, and all their goods, and the women and the children," I believe, would have been slaves and servants, and they would have kept all the goodies for themselves. Quite often, the women and the children would be sold in marketplaces, and they would become fairly wealthy by selling these individuals. In Deuteronomy 2 and verse 35, it says this, "Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took." Over and over again, the soldiers were rewarded with the spoils of war. In 1 Samuel 14, after the defeat of the Philistines, in verse 32, it says this, "And the people flew upon the spoil." They knew that there was a lot of soldiers out there that were dead. They knew that there was riches to be found, and they flew. They practically fought one another to get the spoil. David was a soldier. He knew something about regarding the spoils of war. And he compares this feeling of jubilation and enrichment to the word of God. "I rejoice at thy word." So he's reading the word of God that he has. He's reading what has been given to him. He says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I remember my days on the battlefield. I've seen the soldiers go in and get the spoils, and there's rejoicing and there's jubilation. And dear God," he says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Let me ask you a question. How rich do you feel today? I'm not talking about money in the bank. Whether you've got money in the bank or no money in the bank or whatever. No, how rich do you feel today? Because we have got the greatest riches that man has been given. The Word of God, our salvation, eternity with Christ. How rich do you feel today? I hope you feel rich. How much soldiering have you done? Are you searching and digging, as it were? Are you looking for the spoil? "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Let's look at the word of God. Let's go into the depths of the word of God. Let's study it. Let's meditate upon it. It's a rejoicing to my heart. I rejoice at thy word. The word of God makes us rich beyond compare. It causes, or it should cause us, to rejoice. David said, "I rejoice, I rejoice." I want to tell you a little story. Recently in England, that's a little colony on the other side of the world. Recently in England, a farmer lost a hammer. Some of you may have read this. He lost a hammer in one of his fields. We call them paddocks, don't we? But he lost a hammer in one of his fields. So he asked his friend. His friend had a metal detector. He said, "Look, can you go out and try and find my hammer? I've lost it in that field somewhere." And to cut a very long story short, over a 2-week period, he unearthed 2,200 items. Gold bracelets, daggers studded with rubies, gold crosses, gold coins, and many other valuable items. It was entitled "The Great Roman Hoard." Most of it is in the British Museum now. And both men received £2 million each, about $4 million. The officials were at a loss to explain how so much was in one thief. And the only explanation was that someone or a group of one or two soldiers had gathered all the spoils of war and they had buried them in the field. And it was hidden in the ground and ploughed over many hundreds of years. The Battle of Hastings, 1066, and other battles since that, we don't know when it was there from. But I can tell you this. There was great delight with the farmer. There was great delight with his friend. There was great delight with the Office of Antiquities. There was great delight with the British Museum. Everyone was delighted. And the consequences of this, it was funny reading this particular story. The consequences of this was that when all the other farmers heard about what was found, they started digging in their fields, and they started getting gold detectors out in their paddocks, and they went with metal detectors to try and find great spoil. Now, what's the moral of this story? Well, they found great spoil, and others were affected by it. They were affected by their jubilation. They were affected by their riches. They were affected by how they were blessed. And they wanted to go out and get the same riches and the same blessing. Folks, do people see you as being blessed in the Word of God? So much so that they also want to search the Word of God and get the same blessing. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Great spoil. Do you study the Word of God? Do you get into the Word of God? Do people see you rejoicing? Oh, listen, do you know what I read last night? I read a portion of the Word of God. It was such a blessing. I've got to share it with you. And do people see your excitement? Do people see your rejoicing at the reading of the Word of God? This was David. David said, I rejoice at thy word. And the only thing he could compare it with was as one that findeth great spoil, because everybody would know that if you find great spoil on the battlefield, hey, you are elated. You are rejoicing. And David says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. The word of God maketh rich. Look at verse 111. Verse 111. It says, thy testimonies have I taken for a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Rejoicing of my heart. David says, this is the desires of my heart. This is what I want. This is my riches. This is my inheritance. Thy testimonies. What a blessing. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. David had, possibly in today's language, millions and millions of dollars worth of gold material and different other things that he possessed. Lots of possessions. But he says, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. For they, thy testimonies, the word of God, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Not the money I have accumulated in the bank. Not the riches that I have inherited on the throne. No, thy testimony is the word of God. David really valued this book. David said, this is the desires of my heart. This is what I want. This is my riches. This is my heritage. Folks, what are we running after? What is the desires of our heart in these days? Are we really running after the word of God? Or are we running after the things that we can't take with us? Thy testimonies. David really valued the word. At least what he had of it. He loved God's word. It was everything to him. It is my joy, he says. It is my riches. It is my heritage. Folks, we are privileged people this evening. God has given us the record of himself. Remember, this is the omnipotent, omniscient God. This is the God who, by the word of his mouth, brought into being everything we know, everything we see, and everything that's unseen. This is the God that has sent his only begotten Son down to us. And he has given us a record of himself. He has given us his word. And folks, we need to value it. Not like gold and silver that does rupt and corrupt and vanish away. No, we need to value it. We need to read it. It's imperative that we're in the word. Hopefully this comes across to you. It's imperative that we get into the word of God. Read it. And apply it to our lives. Listen, men and women have died to protect this book. Men and women have died to proclaim this book. Men and women are dying in China today because they believe in this book. I have one of the original Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it's about 3 inches thick. What's that? 20, 40, 60, 70 millimeters thick, whatever the case may be. It's a large volume. And folks, it would bring you to tears to read some of the things that went on. Whether it would get a Christian who believed in the Trinity of God and would tie his arms and his legs to four horses and go separate directions, hung, drawn, and quartered. They would flay them piece by piece, taking their skin off. They would burn them at the stake because they believed in this book. Men have died. Women have died so that this book might be preserved. Men and women have died to preserve it, and the Lord has given it to us and has preserved it down through the years. Do we treasure this book? Do we appreciate what we have? I hope we do. It's been handed down to us, and it is precious, and it's our heritage. David says, thy testimonies, thy word, have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicings of my heart. I don't think even David would have realized that men and women would give their lives for this book over the years. Even today, as I said, in China and in other places, many other places, people are suffering. People are dying to proclaim and protect, preserve the Word of God. And yet even in our own land, many people who stand behind pulpits are denying this Word of God. Many despise the Word of God. Many are trying to diminish the Word of God. Many are trying to destroy the Word of God, but they never will. Amen? They never will. Folks, the Bible stands every test that man can give it. It has been preserved down through the centuries, and it shall be preserved into eternity. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 says this, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. What a blessing. David said, thy testimonies have I taken for an heritage forever. Is it precious to you? Is it a heritage to you? Is it something that you want to hand down? Sometimes our mothers, fathers, grandparents would hand something down. It's an heritage. You can hand nothing better down to your children and grandchildren than the Word of God. It's our heritage. Next, the Word of God does. It blesses us. It blesses us. I hope it's a blessing. We covered this a little bit this morning, but I'll just go through it very quickly. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. We read those this morning. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. Blessed. Blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are they that keep. Over and over again in the scriptures, in the word of God, it tells us that we will be blessed if we walk according to his word. Psalm 1 is perhaps one of the better known ones. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man. Blessed are they that readeth. Revelation 1:3. Psalm 112, verse 1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And we could go into these verses over and over again and speak at length on them. Have you been blessed this week? That's what the Bible promises. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 2, verse 12. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Blessed, blessed, blessed. God blesses his people over and over again. And folks, if you were to go through this book, the Bible, and underline each verse that talks about being blessed, it might well surprise you. Because over and over again, God promises to bless his people. The word of God even finishes with this exhortation. Revelation 22 and verse 7 says this, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And what the Lord's saying is, he will bless those that keep the integrity of the word of God. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So, study to show thyself approved. Read the word of God because it blesses. Delight yourself in his law. Meditate on his statutes because it blesses. That's what the Bible does. The next thing that the Bible does, it gives us life. Gives us life. Please turn to Psalm 119. And we'll look at a few verses. Verse 25 to start with. My soul claveth unto the dust. Quicken thy me according to thy word. Oh, folks, we haven't got time to go into all these verses. Let me just read them out to you. But you know Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you have he quickened. Now, what is that word quickened? It means brought back to life. Because it says, and you have he quickened who were dead. And you have he brought back to life who were dead. Brought back to life. Verse 25, quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 37, quicken thy me in thy way. Verse 40, quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 50, the word hath quickened me. Verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Over and over and over again. Praise God that for those that are saved tonight, you have been quickened. It's not a word we use in these days, is it? But you're made alive. When you were born in sin. You were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. And if you grow up that way and go to your grave that way, then you will go to a lost eternity in hell. But when we get saved, we are quickened. We are brought back to life. We started off with a body, a soul, and a spirit, and the spirit was dead. And if we go to the grave, the body and the soul will go to the grave, and the spirit will be dead. But if you get quickened, you're brought back to life. And folks, I don't know if you realize it or not, but whenever you compare yourself to those that are unsaved, and we don't look down upon the unsaved, you are a whole person. They still are only two-thirds of a person. They've got a body and they've got a soul, but their spirit is dead. It has never been quickened. It has never been brought back to life. Your spirit has been quickened. You have your spirit, you have your body, and you have your soul. Quicken thy me according to thy word. The Lord quickens us, gives us life. The word of God quickens us or makes us alive for service. You know, there's no halfway measures. You're either dead or you're alive. Either dead or you're alive. No halfway measures. Either you're in Christ or you're not. No halfway measures. Either you're saved or you're not. There's no halfway measures. The Word of God hath life-changing power. It changed my life, and I know it's changed your lives. Each one that professes Christ has a changed life. And for anyone listening in that's not here this evening, you can be saved. Your life can be changed. You can be quickened. You can be brought back to life and, as it were, be a whole person for the first time with a body, a soul, and a spirit. All because Jesus went to the cross and he shed his blood. And he died that cruel death. And praise God, he rose again. Now he has ascended into heaven, from whence he will return again for his bride, the church, which is imminent. Can happen at any time. We call it the rapture, or the snatching away. But if you're not saved, you'll be left on earth in a time which is called the tribulation. Another message altogether. What does the Bible do? Maketh us rich. It blesses us. It gives us life. And folks, in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, it applies to each one of us, because before we were saved, we were in a state of death. But now, we're in a state of life. Everlasting life. Each one of us who were born in sin and shaven in iniquity, but praise God for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, who have accepted God's offer of mercy, who has accepted the shed blood, the precious atoning death of Christ, are saved. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says this: being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the living word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, saves us, quickens us, and gives us life. Praise God. Praise God. Now please look at verse 28. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. This is what God does. This is what God's word does. It strengthens us. And here we see that the word of God gives strength. David is saying, I need strength. I need this strength because I'm melted for heaviness. I'm in the slough of despond, as it were. I'm feeling so low. My soul melteth. I need your strength according to your word. Strength. We need strength, folks. There's no doubt that we need strength in these days. These days of uncertainty. We need strength just to realize that God's word is true. And we need strength just to realize that he's coming back and he will fulfill his promises. We need strength in times of trials, in times of testings, in times of tribulations, in times of challenges. And there's many of those about today. You know, sometimes our hearts get heavy. And sometimes we might be downcast. And there might be even a time when we feel just like Elijah felt. And he despaired of life. 1 Kings 19 and verse 4 says this: it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. Have you ever been there, folks? Have you ever been so low that you're just praying to God that we just, Lord, just take me out of it all. It's all too much. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt so low and so weak, and it's as if no one cares? And you didn't know where to turn? Well, God has given us the answer, folks. The answer to all our troubles. His word will give strength to overcome in all our situations. David says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thy me according to thy word. Job said in chapter 23 and verse 12, I have esteemed thy words, or the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. That's what Job thinks. He says, I need food to live. But thy word is more valuable to me than the very food that I need to live. I have esteemed thy words, or the words of thy mouth, more than my necessary food. Matthew in verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It strengthens. Folks, just as bread strengthens the outer man, as it were, God's word strengthens the inner man. And so often we turn to the word of God for strength. And your pastor would agree with this, because so often we need God's strength. Whenever we visit the sick, we would turn to God's word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who healeth all thy diseases. Then we go to the bereaved. We say, the Lord is my shepherd. Thou shalt not want. Then we go to the troubled. We turn to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Then we turn to the burden. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then we go to the ones who are troubled. 1 Peter 5:7, troubled and burdened with cares, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word of God gives strength. The word of God gives liberty. We'll go quickly. There's just a couple more to go. Verse 45 says this, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Folks, there's one thing that we really need to be thankful about, and it's this: that we are no longer under bondage. You see, in the world, the prince of the power of the air, we were under bondage to him. But now that we are set free, now we are at liberty, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. No longer under bondage. Used to be. Praise God, we're set free. We're walking in liberty. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Verse 133 says this, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. The unsaved, iniquity and sin has dominion over them. But once you are set free, once you're set at liberty, you're able to say, well, let not iniquity have dominion over me. I don't want to be involved in sinful practices. I don't want to have any iniquitous thing in my life. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. John 8, verses 31, 32 says this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're free, and you're free indeed. No longer under bondage, no longer under the devil, no longer under his power. You're under the power of the cross, as it were, under the power of the word of God. But folks, The Word of God promises liberty, yes. The Word of God makes us free, yes. Iniquity has no more dominion over us, yes. But I need to say this, that because you are free, it does not mean that you can do as you like. Our liberty has parameters. The Word of God has set boundaries, and there are principles that we must live by. The Lord in His Word tells us that this needs to be our desire. I've mentioned Psalm 1 several times today. But I love that it says, and His delight, His desire, His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the Word of God, the Word of the Lord. And in His law, in the Word of God, doth He meditate day and night. So along with our liberty, we have responsibility and accountability. Folks, I would say along with Paul, when he was writing to the Romans, and again we have mentioned it before, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Whenever I was ordained into the ministry some 35 years ago, we had about 16 pastors at that time that would quiz you on the Word of God. And Brother McConnell, what do you believe in this? And Brother McConnell, what do you believe in that? And one pastor said, Brother McConnell, do you believe in the gap theory? I said, I do. He said, oh? I said, well, between Genesis 1, verse 1 and verse 2, there's a gap of about 1 millimeter in my Bible. And that brought a bit of laughing and comments and so forth. I said, but I'll tell you about a better gap theory. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about the gap theory. Oh, yes. It's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, GAP. That's the only gap theory I believe in. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so I passed with honor, so that was good. So God wants us to have liberty. God has set us free. And we need to give ourselves as godly sacrifices. What does the Bible do? Well, it makes us rich. It blesses us. It gives us life. It strengthens us and sets us at liberty. We'll just go one more, folks, and that'll finish it for this evening. The Word of God gives direction. And we all need direction in these days. Verse 133 says this, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps. Folks, this ought to be our prayer day after day. This ought to be our prayer as we leave this building. It ought to be our prayer when we get up in the morning. This ought to be our prayer when we start every day, that God would order our steps. Oh, that my ways are directed to keep thy statutes. Verse 5. David is pleading with the Lord that his life, his daily experience, his directions, his ways, or the way that he should go, would be ordered or according to or directed by the Word of God, thy statutes. Proverbs 3 and verse 6 says this, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Which direction are you heading? Are we directing our families towards the Lord? As parents, we have an awesome responsibility to lead and direct. As Sunday school teachers, we have an awesome responsibility to lead and direct. as deacons, pastors, preachers, leaders in the church, we have an awesome responsibility to lead and direct. Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Your pastors, your deacons, your leaders, all need your prayers. It's an awesome responsibility to stand behind this pulpit each and every Lord's Day, proclaiming the Word of God. The Bible is a lot of things to us. The Bible does a lot of things for us. May it be a blessing to us this day. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, again we give Thee thanks for Thy Word. We thank Thee, Father, that we are rich, rich beyond compare, because of Thy Word, because of what Christ has done for us. We thank Thee, our Father, that we have been made free. We are set at liberty. We thank Thee, our Father, that we have a heritage. We thank Thee, our Father, that we can gain guidance and directions from Your Word. May it be that these dear folks might be built up in their most holy faith and be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We thank Thee in His precious and worthy name. Amen. 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 Thank you, folks.